This is the voice of the Vortex. Hello. Today is March 22nd, 2011. My heart goes out to the people of Japan. The idea of a magnitude 8.9 earthquake happening so close to such a densely populated island is terrifying. The death toll is too high, but it could have been much worse, as we have seen in other earthquakes elsewhere in the past few years. This is a testament to Japanese preparedness and the power of science. In a way, what we have witnessed is the perfect science fiction scenario. Human technology in the form of high-speed trains, nuclear reactors, skyscrapers, and all the infrastructure of a modern city pitted against a massive, uncontrollable, unpredictable release of tectonic energy from within our planet. It's an aspect of something a science fiction writer must always keep in mind. For any given technology, how can it go wrong? What is the worst-case scenario? How can it be used for evil? If you say, for example, that you are going to build a huge solar collector in outer space and beam the energy down to Earth via microwaves to a collector on the ground, the science fiction writer should say, that sounds great, but what happens if the beam goes off target? What happens when a flock of geese flies through the beam? What happens if a terrorist gets control of the beam and starts irradiating enemy cities? Where will the collector be built? Whose house are you going to knock down to build it? And what would it be like to live in the shadow of that thing? Kim Stanley Robinson asked this question in his novel Red Mars, when, and yes, this is a spoiler, so skip ahead if you don't want to hear a plot point from a book that has been out for almost 20 years, when Martian freedom fighters bring down the space elevator. That sequence is my favorite in the whole book, as the Handwavium carbon filament comes plummeting down out of the sky, cutting the surface of Mars like a lash with enough energy to melt solid rock. A space elevator isn't just a cheap way to get things out of the gravity well. It is also, in the wrong hands, a formidable weapon. I have little patience for the breed of science enthusiast who smugly announces that whatever problem will be solved with nanotech. Disease? Nanotech. Pollution? Nanotech. Poverty? Nanotech. Nanotechnology will usher in a new golden age, provided we use it to solve the right problems. But what if, as in Ian MacDonald's Dervish House, the problem that people try to solve with nanotech is disbelief, disloyalty, or treason? Yes, we've all heard the Grey Goose scenario, but if I can rework your brain on a cellular level to cure your Alzheimer's, what else can I do while I'm in there? Technology is cool, but I think a lot of people fall into the trap of being rah-rah cheerleaders for a particular technology. Nanotech, space elevators, or nuclear reactors all have the potential to do vast amounts of good. However, we should never lose sight of the vast amounts of harm that can also result, either from uncontrollable acts of nature or from human evil. Speaking of people who should only use their powers for good, John Joseph Adams, the editor of Lightspeed magazine, as well as a long list of anthologies, including the excellent Brave New Worlds collection, is now the editor of Fantasy magazine. Fantasy magazine has been relaunched with a new format to make it truly the fantasy mirror of Lightspeed magazine. The most exciting part of this change is the addition of a Fantasy magazine podcast. They're already live on iTunes with two excellent stories, The Sandal Bride by Genevieve Valentine and The Dog King by Holly Black. I have been impressed every month by the quality of the Lightspeed podcast. I expect nothing less from Fantasy Magazine, particularly given the stories they've chosen to start with. Kat Rambo, the fierce and talented former editor of Fantasy Magazine, has stepped down to focus on her writing. As a huge fan of Kat Rambo's writing, I can't wait to see what she comes up with next. In science news, The Messenger space probe has successfully entered the orbit of Mercury. This marks the first time humans have successfully placed an artificial satellite in orbit around our solar system's smallest planet. Messenger was launched 6 years ago and has now deployed all its scientific instruments and begun the most detailed survey of Mercury ever attempted. This will be our first chance to get a complete map of the planet's surface, including laser altimetry. NASA will also be closely monitoring Messenger's speed as it orbits Mercury. Changes in the density of the planet should cause variations in its gravitational field. As Messenger passes through these gravitational variations, it should change speed, which will affect the Doppler shift of its radio signals. Using these slight variations in the frequency of the radio signals, scientists hope to build a density map of Mercury. And now it is my turn to be a cheerleader for technology. The amount of precision required not only to put an object into orbit around something as distant and fast-moving as Mercury, but to then pick out the changes in its radio signal caused by changes in the density of the planet, rather than, say, by the fact that it is orbiting a planet 80 million kilometers away, and that the planet itself is orbiting the Sun at almost 50 kilometers a second, is astonishing. In local news, Tamara Pierce is coming to Kansas City. She will be the guest of honor at the annual Conquest Science Fiction Convention. This year, Conquest will be held at the Hyatt Regency Crown Center in historic downtown Kansas City. It will run from May 27th to the 29th. Other guests include Rachel Kane, Tadao Tomomasu, and Aaron McKee. Conquest also hosts RoomCon, the convention within the convention. There will be a writer's workshop, a masquerade, and a young adult fiction tea party. I hope to see you there. The Voice of the Vortex is produced under Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works, Sharealike 3.0 license. To comment on this episode, or to submit flash fiction for future shows, drop an email to voiceofthevortex, all one word, @gmail.com. Show notes are available at voiceofthevortex.podbean.com. This is Sarah Frost, the Voice of the Vortex, signing off.